Hello and thank you for joining me today. I am Mindy McNeil, and for the next few weeks, I am going to be discussing homelessness. Homelessness has, our people have felt like it's starting to become an issue in Denver, but it's actually been around for a while. And I think homelessness has been around for years and years and years. And we've had Ella Fitzgerald has been homeless. We've had people in the Denver community who've been homeless. And I think sometimes we can turn a blind eye and say, oh, that's just some lazy person or just some, you know, irresponsible person. But homelessness can happen to a lot of different people, people that we've run into, people that we see, or even people that we hear on a daily basis. Today, I am with our 1 to 4 p.m. host of Afternoon Jazz with Andy O. And he is also on the night side with Andy O. So, Andy, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me today.
Well, I'm glad to talk about the subject because there's a sort of a stigma attached, and if you can put a face to homelessness, it's better. It leads to a more compassionate citizenry, I think.
I agree. And Andy, you know, and I once again, I do thank you because you're opening up this vulnerable side of your life to me and to our listeners. And I think, though, it does open up a lot of different things because, once again, we find that, oh, it's just that person. There's this bum or there's this whatever, but it's actually somebody that we know and we care about. We love hearing you on the air. I know people, you know, see you when we go to festivals or they go to, you know, different things and they are there. You know, there's this face, but I think I said this before. I don't think anybody, you know, I've said this not on this, you know, recording, but I've just said that people don't wake up today and say, oh, I'm going to be homeless. You know, there's a series of events. And so would you mind sharing a little bit with our listeners about how this started for you?
No, not at all. You know, everybody's a couple of paychecks away. Most people, I should say, not everybody, but all it takes is a couple of circumstances. Things happen, medical issues, different things like that. And the next thing you know, you can be homeless. I was unemployed. My unemployment had run out. My savings, I went through that. And it was, in an apartment for a long time. And my landlord cut me as much slack as he could. But eventually, I was looking at having to move out. I was able to put some of my stuff in storage. A lot of people don't have that luxury. They usually come home and find their stuff sitting on the sidewalk and been pilfered by other people. Boy, I tell you what, that first night was something I'll never forget. You know, I didn't want to ask for help. I didn't want to be bugging my friends. Hey, can I stay at your place all the time? Eventually, I would, because it's scary out there. I pretty much sat on a park bench all night long and got some sleep. And I realized, wow, this is going to go. And it went for 4 years. There was a lot of couch surfing. Friends are, what are you doing now? Where are you living? And I said, you know, I don't have a place. I'm looking for work and I'm looking for something, you know. And, you know, 1 year can turn into four so quick it make your head spin, you know. And homeless people work. I want to get that across. I not every night was spent with nowhere to live. Sometimes I'd be couch surfing here or there or, sometimes people let you stay there. Sometimes you'd get a voucher for a hotel. I spent a winter living in my sister's van in a parking garage because my sister's out of state and she had her van in storage before she sold it. And I spent, I think it was the winter of 2006, living in that van, you know, and I was grateful for it. But it was cold as hell. Still cold, you know, even though I could start up the thing and I couldn't really take the van out of there. Because it wasn't really in drivable shape and all that. But, I mean, it's just day to day goes by and you're wondering, you know, how am I going to eat? How am I going to, you know, getting clean? It's really hard not to go feral, you know, where you're trying to remain some. There's people that had it worse than me, so that didn't have the network of friends that I had. And so I got through eventually getting work. One person let me stay at her place, but it was tough because, you know, it puts a strain on a friendship. People don't know how to react when somebody's under the roof that's homeless and things cross their mind. Is he going to steal from me? Is he going to this or that? I was able to at least get my clothes cleaned up, get some clothes. I had been, you know, working temporary jobs and stuff like that, getting money here and there. I was on food stamps. I recall a line from a Paul Simon song, The Boxer, or I'm not sure if it's a boxer or the only living boy in New York, but seeking out the poorer quarters where only the homeless people go, you know. And that was me. I found all these places, and a lot of the help I got was from other homeless people. You know, hey, do you need a coat? Do you need something to eat? You know, I mean, they'd share their last anything. And, you know, somehow I made it through and got a job and was able to get an apartment, saved up enough money to do that. And it was a struggle, but I was able to finally get off the streets. But that was 4 years, and it went by slow and fast at the same time. At the end of it, it was like, God, was that really 4 years? You're torn between asking for help and hunger pangs. During that 4 years' time, I lost like about 60 pounds. I'm a big dude, so it was startling to some people. They thought I was sick. It's just you eat less, sometimes just once a day or once every few days. You know, it wasn't because I'm a alcoholic or a druggie or anything like that. It was just unfortunate circumstances, the economy. When you're older, people don't want to hire you. I shouldn't use that broad sweeping statement like that, but it was a case in many a job. That's how it was. It was, I could go through and describe a lot of incidents.
Well, let me ask you this. You had mentioned the word feral, and what do you mean by that terminology, feral, as far in regards to homelessness?
If you're hungry enough, you go into a trash can. I felt it was feral sleeping under a bridge. I found myself doing stuff I wouldn't normally do. You worry about losing your humanity. I like the not being paid attention to invisibility look that you get where nobody notices you. But the look of revulsion thing, that's really tough. I didn't have it as bad as a lot of people. I was, able to have a roof over my head. That doesn't mean you have a home. It means you have some shelter for a temporary respite. But feral, it's like you go wild. You go down to your basic instincts. What are you going to do? And I never did things that I've seen other people do, robbing people, stealing. I couldn't go there. I didn't stand on a street corner asking for money. But I hear people go, oh, they should get a job. And I just look at them and know they just don't know. That's the hardest job in the world, is standing on a corner of an off-ramp on a highway with a sign for 12 hours and maybe getting, if you're lucky, 10 bucks, you know, maybe 20. I know a lot of those people bought me dinner because of using their last money for that. You know, it's not enough to live on.
Well, let me ask you this, because there are some people, they have said, I've driven by and I've given money to homeless people and they'll go drink it. Or they get into a nice car later on and then they go back to a house. They're just panhandling just for money. Or,
you know, I never encountered that. Even today, when if I give money to a person on a corner, I mean, if I have it, I do. It's none of my business what they do with it. To me, they need the money, regardless if it's for food or drink or whatever. It's how they're getting through. A lot of what I was talking about, feral, you can seek consolation with alcohol and drugs. If you go there, there's sometimes no coming back. I always planned on not being homeless the rest of my life. But there are people, when I say they go feral, they're giving up. They're knowing they're not going to get out of this and that they have to live how they can. And if, you know, a bottle of booze gets them through, that's a few hours of pain they're not suffering from. They could use help. There's a lot of people who are mentally ill out on the streets. There's a lot of people who are drinkers, a lot of people that are druggies. But you know what? There's just as many people out there. There's families. You hit every hotel. Motel, I should say, on either Colfax East or West. And they're full of people that are, you know, you can't call them homeless because they're living in these hotels. They're spending a ridiculous amount of money for a little space. It's basically you choose between paying your rent or eating. There's not enough help, you know, and going through and sweeping the sidewalks clean or picking up tent cities, it's a cosmetic thing, but it's not going to cure it. It's not taking care of business. There's so many faces to homelessness and so many reasons for it and so many existences that you can't paint the whole thing with a broad brush. That's why I'm talking about it. There are people who are stunned to hear that I was homeless, you know. I see people blow money on a dinner that would have paid for me a whole month, you know, of just getting by on the streets, you know. So I don't have any qualms about helping whenever I can, however I can. but at the same time, yeah, there's probably people out there that run a scam, but, you know, stand out in the hot sun for a long day asking for money and getting a lot of grief and tell me that's something you would do for there's a lot of other easier ways to make money, you know, if you're a scam artist. I'm sure that's the last scam they'd want to do. So I think that's largely a myth. I mean, sure, it's news when it happens because it's not the norm. You know, anybody that you see on a street corner, I heard one guy say, oh, look at those shoes. He's got brand new shoes. How does he know he didn't get those shoes from the mission earlier in the day? Why you begrudge somebody a nice pair of shoes any more than you begrudge them a meal? Or if you have a cocktail after work, don't be looking at somebody because you didn't give them money to have, you know, a bottle of beer or something. Yeah, granted that there's a large police problem with people that are abusing alcohol and drugs that are homeless. They're repeaters. You know, they wind up in jail. There's people I know that would just do something to get in jail to get out of the cold. The winters are the worst. You know, the summer, you know, you can sleep in a park. One year there were people getting killed out by the railroads. You know, they're not railroads anymore. They're building down there. But, you know, just there was somebody going around killing homeless people. And that happens every year. There's a large amount of homeless people that die out there on the street.
That brings up another question that I had. For you, when you were out there, you said there was a period of 4 years. How did you deal with safety? Because I would think safety would be a huge issue for you.
I was always looking over my shoulder, but I got beat up a couple times. I was robbed. I got kicked in the face when I was sleeping in the park one time. It's not something I bring up a lot. I got my teeth knocked out. Yeah, it's a constant. You're afraid. Because you know that people, you know, the cops don't give a damn. I mean, you might find, I shouldn't say that at large. There were cops that did care. I got some vouchers for cops on very, very cold winter days and stuff. It's not something I brought up a lot because, again, it's not something I like talking about. But I want people to understand that it can happen to anybody. I never thought I would ever be homeless. I made some not bad choices in you know, lifestyle choices, but just going for another job, and it didn't work out. And, you know, stuff happens. Again, a couple of paychecks and surprise, you know, and I'd gone through my savings. It's the last thing I thought would ever happen. So I'm grateful for the people that helped me, or I wouldn't be here talking to you right now.
So now you're not homeless. You've got a place, and we hear you many days of the week here at KUVO. What turned the tide for you and helped you to get out of homelessness and get to an established place and different things?
Well, it's a combination of things, being able to work and not having to use the money for I was able to save some money. And basically, the landlord at the time, my building's been owned by several different people. I've been living in the same place about 11 years now. When I went there checking out this apartment, it was real cheap, and she asked me, have you ever been evicted? And all this stuff that they ask you about your credit. Well, when you're homeless, your credit goes right into the toilet. You know, you bounce in checks, and then you don't have anything to bounce. And of course, this was, you know, years ago. What turned the tide, I guess, was being able to save money and have a person who said to me, and I'll never forget, she said, well, you got to have a place to live. And she gave me a break, you know. Sometimes you should just give people a break. I was able to turn it around, you know. I got another job. It's like that foothold. You got to climb out of it. I'm talking about feral when you give up. But, again, homeless people work a lot. Those places out there that put them to work, sometimes it's exploitive. But sometimes it's just a job, you know, and you get paid what you should. You try to, you know, make every temporary job turn into a full-time job. Mm-hmm. The reason those jobs are temporary is for a good reason. They can't use a full-time help. So they go to temporary places and stuff, and you go back and do that. But if you're sitting there all day and you don't get work, then you've missed out on the opportunity to go get somewhere to sleep or something to eat. So you're making these choices every day. What am I going to do? You know, you try to plan your week out according to, you know, I need to get some money, then I'm going to have to try and get some food. And, you know, again, feral, you're stashing food in your backpack. You know, you have to maintain, you don't have a refrigerator, so you're using it like that. Thank God for food stamps. That got me through. And it was a minimal amount. Every little thing that could help, helped. I had friends always, you know, wanting to give me money. And it's like, yeah, I would take it, but boy, did I ever feel ashamed doing it. I felt a real sense of shame all the time. I had to gut that shame and just accept the help. What I didn't see was any real programs to help the homeless. And they work for some people, but not for everybody. They say, they talk about, you know, shelters and stuff. I'm not going to say bad things about shelters. At the same time, I understand why people don't want to go there. I didn't like it. It's hard. Sometimes it's a real hard reminder that you're thought of as less than a citizen. Sometimes it's better to just be in the park. Boy, bookstores. I used to go to bookstores like crazy. I'd sit around and read all day, library. All the great loitering places, going to the bathroom, getting a shower, anything like that. That's so tough.
So what do you say to the people who say, oh, you know, if you wouldn't have gone out for that Starbucks yesterday, or if you would not have gone to McDonald's, or if you would not have gone to see all those movies, you know, this is just a budgeting thing. And if you would have just managed your money wisely, you wouldn't have been in this situation. What do you say to those people?
I guess I want to address, trying to victimize somebody who's going through that. Nobody thinks when they're going to Starbucks or going to the movies that it might be the last time they're going to the movies. I guarantee you people out on the streets are trying to use what money they have in the most effective way they can do it. Now, I'm not talking about people that are, you know, alcoholics. They're driven by a different thing. I used to be really grateful that I didn't go there. I had alcoholics in my life, not my family, but there were people in my life that were alcoholics. I've lost friends to alcohol, so it kind of put me off of it. I remember when I found out I had diabetes, getting to stay in the hospital. Boy, what a great thing that was. It was like, normally I would have been scared about the hospital, but don't victimize somebody because they're living their life, and then suddenly they're homeless. It's not about budgeting. It's about a situation that comes at you unannounced and unexpectedly, you know, and it can be a number of things, health issues. It can be, you know, sudden raise of the rent and the money's not any better, or sudden unemployment. You know, for every person that's out there, there's a different reason why they're out there. So to group them all in one bunch and say, oh, well, that's just on them. Well, maybe it is. I mean, somebody who's drowning in the river because they went swimming. Do you not save that person that's in the river? Do you let them drown because they chose to swim? I know that's a weak analogy, but what qualifies for help? What do you have to do to qualify for another human being to act like a human being?
Good question. Thank you so much, Andy. I appreciate your time. And thank you for sharing with our listeners your experiences.
Well, it's not easy to talk about it because I remember these things. I try real hard to put them out of my mind. When you see somebody on a street corner, they're not trying to scam you. They're just trying to get their next meal, or they're trying to get comfort. So it's not up to you to decide what they do with their money. I'm really not a fan of those traffic meters. They're like for homeless people. You put change in the meter, and it goes for helping the homeless. Help them with donations. You know, those meters, people on the street, they see you putting that money in those. There's parking meters, and allegedly the money goes to help the homeless. I haven't seen them lately. I don't know if they're still a thing. You know, the person standing right there asking for a dollar still needs that dollar. In the land of plenty, poverty and homelessness, it's a sin. It's a sin that's bore by the whole society. I know that sounds communist or something, but we're all our brother's keepers.